Hey, people, listen up. It's a fucking lockdown right now.
Come off it. We're not in a prison drama, are we?
We are in a prison drama. This is the fucking Shawshank Redemption, right? But with more tunneling through shit, no fucking redemption.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Sheriff, this is no time to panic. This is the perfect time to panic.
So, end of the world.
I ain't going with it. I'll go with Child.
Hey, fuck you, Palmer!
I'm going with you!
Who says I want you going with me?
All right, cut the bullshit!
Because the whole world gone crazy!
Hey! Everybody calm the fuck down.
I want to buy one of your fine ponies.
Hey, 75% of our people living below the poverty line.
Red Bull's got a bunch of radicals on the loose up there. We need him off that reservation till the vote is in.
Putting his sister behind bars was our best shot.
We gotta go to Santa Fe. Can I count on you? Or what?
No te me, mesa. We are Cheyenne.
I'm in the mood to tear it up. I'm in my prime to tear it up.
Oh, no,
let's go have a talk, Red Bull.
I just can't tear it up enough.
I had a sign. The time has come for me to gather medicine.
We are gathering power.
Buddy Red Bull.
Gilbert.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Holmes Movies Recommends. My name is Anders Holmes. I'm joined, as always, by my brother Adam over Zoom in America.
Howdy.
So, have you had a good day recently?
A good day recently? Tuesday wasn't bad. Today's fine. The sun is shining, the birds are chirping. I saw a huge snapping turtle when I was running yesterday.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I ran along and I was like, what is that enormous rock on the side of the road? And then I ran near it and I was like, that rock is alive. And yes. And it was the size of a bin lid. It was huge. I was like, what are you doing here? And he said, I'm lost. And I said, well, no, I didn't say anything. I just ran past.
The weather has been improving a lot here. It's warm. Our mother
you're
and
tuned
I
tuned into Danish weather with Anderson.
Yes. We went to an open air theater near Bagen, the theme park there, and yes. There was a production. I think it was in relation with the Kongli Theatre, and they did a production of The Hobbit. J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit. It was really good.
Well, as opposed to fucking Roald Dahl's The Hobbit.
No, but it was like, no, shut up.
Robert Ludlum's The Hobbit.
No, it's like but the really cool thing
Bill
was
Clinton and James Patterson present The Hobbit. Have you seen that those two have written a book together?
Yeah, I did. They've written another one.
That is such a like Ben Affleck and Matt Damon collaboration, isn't it? That's like, you know who's done most of the work there.
Yeah.
I just sit back and James Patterson just writes the stuff.
That's not a bad impression. Okay, so you went to see The Hobbit in the forest.
Yeah, no, but it was really cool because it was outside and they had puppets, they had lights, they had people on horses, like they had stunt horses like doing stuff. It was really, really cool. They did like a really
stunt
great
horses.
Yeah, they had there was a lot of moments
horses
where, like,
that jump out of planes.
No, but it's not that. They had a drone at one point that like flies in an eagle and then attaches the puppets to them and everything like that. So it was really cool. Like the performances are really great. Like the people who were playing like the Bilbo and then the dwarfs, that you had like people walking around with them and then their mouths moved and things like that. It was really, really nice and very great atmosphere. And it was good fun. There was a kid in front of me who was just so enthusiastic about it all, like everything. And like when the dragon comes out and he had like his binoculars because we were really high up. So it was really cool seeing him kind of being engaged with it and finding.
It was like you were there with yourself.
Yeah, I was. It was like when I watched Star Wars for the first time. So it was kind of like seeing a bit of that.
Jesus Christ. I'll never forget that.
Yeah. So, no, it was good fun. There was a really funny story that happened to me. Maybe I shouldn't really talk about it, but no, it was slightly.
What happened?
Yeah.
You shit yourself?
No, it is toilet related, but.
Okay.
Because we were out.
Why are we telling toilet stories?
No, it's like it's a running trend for some reason. We always say, no, because so before the show, I wanted to make sure I didn't have to, because like we were in like in the middle row, so I didn't want to have to get up in the middle of the show and having to like say excuse me yeah. and stuff like that. So I went to the bathroom just like 5 minutes before the show has. They had like these open air, like the you know portaloos and stuff like that, and they had little lights on the above the doors to say if they were occupied or not. And then I went to one.
Like a recording studio.
Yeah, like a recording studio kind of thing.
And session then, in progress.
Yeah, so I went to it and it was the light wasn't on. I was thinking that it wasn't then. I opened the door and then there was already somebody in there who hadn't like locked the door. So
oh, that's
was,
on them.
That's on them. And it was just like a bit like, ah! Like kind of like that. And it was just like, it was even more awkward because it was a woman. So that made it even worse. And well, it was like,
yeah, because now you're a pervert.
No, but I was just like, it was like, oh, sorry, and stuff like that. But the weird thing was, like,
it would be hilarious if you closed the door with such force that you knocked over the portal.
No, but it wasn't like that. But the weird thing was, it's like her family or something, her husband and their two kids were outside, and apparently they were like, I don't know, they did a really shit job of guarding the door. Maybe she was like claustrophobic and didn't want to lock it or something like that. Like I went to another stall and I could just hear like is it safe to come out? Yes, it's safe to come out or something like that.
Safe to come out? Well, yeah, the pervert man is gone.
And then I went back to my...
like pissed pervert has left and gone somewhere else.
No, and then it was even made it extra awkward because they were sitting in the row behind me during the show.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
that's mental. But also, I hate that. I hate the one of my least favorite things in the whole world is having to get up in a theater or in a cinema and like edge through all the people to go to the loo or to whatever it is. There's a great story that my friend John tells. It's kind of sad because it happens in it happened during the Bataclan attacks in Paris in 2015. He was on a date and he was sitting in the middle, I mean, right in the middle of a row in a cinema, and his phone rings and he has this sort of thing where it's like, he knows if it's serious because, you know, I should point out that he worked at the time for a big news. I think it was Reuters. I'm not sure, but he was, you know, he had to basically be on call. And so his phone rings and he's like, sorry, 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 sorry. Like goes out through this hill row of people, all these French people are like, oh, God, putain. And he gets out and he takes the phone. And they're just like, there's been a, you know, terrorist attack. You need to get to the office now. And so he goes back to the person he's on a date with. Like, sorry, 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 sorry. Goes back to the person. He's like, I'm really sorry. I have to leave. And the guy's like, oh, okay. Well, I get it. You know, you're a journalist or whatever. So John leaves. And he goes, sorry, 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 sorry. Back to the aisle. And then he suddenly realizes, I should probably tell the guy what's happened. So he goes back, sorry, 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 sorry. And he goes, just by the way, the reason I'm leaving is there's been a terrorist attack. You might want to like check on your friends and stuff. And then, and then he goes to work and he spent basically 48 hours straight working on the, yeah. But anyway, that's my friend John. Love him very much. He has moved from Paris to Brussels now, the poor guy. So at least he has more access to Moulfrit. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about recommendations. Right?
Yes. What are you recommending today?
Oh, I'm recommending a film from 1989 that I watched just the other day. That I've been meaning to watch for a long time. It's directed by Jonathan Wax. And it's a film called Pow Wow Highway. It's about...
Never heard of it.
Well, it's a film that you would like a lot. Because it is... it's about these two Cheyenne Indians, indigenous people of the Plains States in America. One of them receives word that his sister has been arrested on very spurious charges down in New Mexico, and he recruits his friend Filbert to drive him down there in Filbert's newly acquired beat up car. And it's this wonderful and funny and touching and feel good kind of road movie that also has like genuine points to make about the situation that Native people face in the US, but doesn't do it in this heavy-handed sort of lecturing way. It's still a kind of buddy comedy, but it really lands very, you know, you think about it a lot subsequently, and it has great, you know, where it needs to, it has great symbolism, and where, and then it delivers some good laughs and some good action. The great thing is that Philbert, the friend with the car, he's this very kind of like, he seems to be sort of simple minded and almost like sort of Lenny from Of Mice and Men kind of a type. But he's actually incredibly spiritual, he's obsessed with becoming a Cheyenne warrior, and to do that he needs to achieve certain tasks and collect certain talismans but in any case, he's played by the magnificent and one of a kind Gary Farmer familiar
stupid
to
fucking white man.
Yeah, familiar to many from Dead Man, of course.
He's great. I love Gary Farmer. He's a great actor.
Yeah, his main character or the protagonist Buddy Redbow is played by A. Martinez. I don't know.
Yeah, he was in The Cowboys, the John Wayne movie.
Ah, right. Yeah, so he's
And for horror fans, he was in The Curse of Chucky, where he plays a priest. He was good in that.
Right. So I hadn't seen him in anything else, but he's good in this. You have some good little familiar faces as well. Wes Studi, this is his first film. He's a small character in this film. And Graham Greene shows up very briefly and puts in a really good performance, though, as a traumatized Vietnam veteran. And Rodney A. Grant appears in a non-speaking role as well. So there are some really good, there are some familiar faces.
Got some good Native American actors in this movie.
Right. And yeah, as I say, it's full of fun. It's full of very 80s moments in some ways. Like there's like that kind of that sort of frivolity that prevailed in 80s movies, like the sort of the Back to the Future kind of fun. But it also is very it has a sort of a real point to make, and I think you cannot just watch this film and as a fun kind of road movie. Like it is impossible not to come away with this and feel on some level to not feel that you've been educated in a certain way, but also to feel kind of aggravated and righteously upset about the way that Native people have been exploited down the years and still are being exploited, we're speaking today on the it's been announced that the Keystone Pipeline is
I was just about to bring that up. Yeah, I just saw on the news that's been cancelled, and thank God for that.
Yeah, that's the kind of cancel culture I can get behind. But this is a real and ongoing issue, and while it's good that we have made the progress we have made, there's still just such a reckoning,
still a lot of work to be done.
Americans need to make with their own history, but also that there is there's still such inequality and injustice in the treatment of Native peoples across the country, and then let's not forget that the entire country used to be Native land, and of course almost none of it now is. So the film has just a really, it's a difficult tightrope to walk. It has set itself a really seemingly almost unrealizable task, which is to, on the one hand, make a feel-good movie, and on the other hand, make a film that's going to make you aware of certain things. And it manages it. It's as good as it needs to be. You know, I gave it 4 stars on Letterboxd because it's not, you know, cinematically, it's not the greatest. Some of the acting's a bit ropey. Some of the lines are a little bit, you know, could have been polished a bit. But it's like what it achieves is an hour and a half of absolute entertainment on the one hand. And, you know, you come away, if you don't know anything about the lives of modern indigenous people, which I think there are people in the world who don't even realize that there are American Indians, you know, living lives and trying to keep their culture alive to this day. So, you know, I think it gives you that kind of a good primer on that topic. And I think it definitely makes you feel like you want to go and learn some more. So, you know, I think it's I think it's kind of essential viewing in some ways, and it's just a great little it's a great document as well, because it feels very 1989. I that's the best way I can put it, basically. It feels like if it were made now, it would have a different vibe, but it feels like it really has that kind of 80s-ness to it. So, you know, whether you are in the mood for a film that's gonna, you know, if you're interested in social justice issues, or if you're interested in a really good time, this film will give, you know, deliver on both counts.
No, that does sound like a really good film. I really want to check it out. Where can people watch it?
Well, if you're in the United States, you can watch it on the Criterion channel. And I believe there are copies of it available on DVD. Let me just look on the old Amazon site. The Amazon UK doesn't seem to have it on DVD, but there
so
is.
If you're in America, you can definitely check it out on Criterion channel.
There might be I'm seeing a German version, Zwei Cheyenne auf dem Highway, which is available on amazon.co.uk.
Auf dem Highway.
Yeah, I strongly recommend purchasing this film. It's definitely one I would like to rewatch.
I definitely want to give it a watch. Yeah,
you could jump on a plane and just come over here. But I'm sure there are other ways, wink wink, of getting hold of this film. That there's that too. But you know, we're not endorsing anything.
No, of course.
Never. We would never encourage you to go and illegally download and watch this movie. Never. Yeah. So Powwow Highway, 1989, Jonathan Wax, A. Martinez, Gary Farmer, check it out. You will love it. I don't often feel like sure, 100% sure that you, Anders, would love this movie, but I know you would love this one.
I really like road movies, and I recently
was thinking about you all the way through, and I was like, this is an Anders film for sure.
It does sound like my kind of film. I do like road movies. I did recently tried writing one the other a while ago, and I would like to try and maybe write another draft and maybe watch more films just to get a little bit inspired by what they did. Just before we move on, are you familiar with Frederick Manfred?
No.
He wrote like a five volume series called The Buckskin Man Tales. It's about Indians. It's set during in the 19th century on the Great Plains, and the first book is called Conquering Horse, and it's about Indian life on the Great Plains before the white people showed up. You familiar with that?
No, I just looked it up. How interesting. So have you read these?
No, but I would like to. I think I was looking on a website called Saxo here in Denmark, which is you can get it in English on that website. But I would like to check it out. It was made. I'd heard about it because it was the film that Michael Cimino was trying to adapt, but then Heaven's Gate happened, and then nothing came of it, because apparently he wanted to make like the film and have it in the whole film in Sioux language, I think. Which would have been pretty cool if he actually did manage to do that, if Heaven's Gate was a success.
Well, I mean, hopefully someone will bring that back to life. I mean, there are definitely, you know, there are films to be made that haven't been made about indigenous people. And I think one of the things that's worth noting is that, you know, for the longest time in film history, native characters were not played by, were often not played by native people. That you had, you know, guys in wigs or guys in red face playing these characters. And even in films where you had you know, indigenous actors, sometimes the leading lady would be played by a white woman or a Hispanic woman or whatever. You know, we talked about Sam Fuller last time, and the film Run of the Arrow, you know, all of the native characters in that film are played by J.C. Flippin plays a fucking native character in that film. I mean, it's just like, you know, so there is this, like, there is a real historical problem, and that Hollywood has been really slow in facing up to. And even as late as the film Tell Them Willie Boy was here, you know, Catherine Ross plays an Indian woman. I mean, it's just like
Catherine Ross from Butch Cassidy.
Yeah, right. I mean, who is not native. So there's just like this. It's an issue that doesn't, you know, it just doesn't get covered in the same way. But it absolutely is a stain on the film industry. And especially when you consider that Indigenous people were often just sort of cannon fodder for John Wayne or whoever it was, in a series of Westerns. And so, you know, on the one hand, you're kind of celebrating the genocide of a people, and then not actually allowing these people, not giving them the jobs, and not, you know, allowing them to actually represent themselves on screen. And one of the few people that actually did that was, of course, John Ford, who, although the speaking characters were mostly played by white people, at least the Indian extras and Stagecoach in The Searchers and in the Cavalry trilogy are played by the, you know, local Navajo people or whatever, he, you know, whoever was nearby. I mean, it was Navajo when he filmed in Monument Valley, at least, which is on Navajo land.
Yeah, I think the only film I have Wind River. I've been thinking about that film for a while since I saw it earlier this year.
That film is brutal.
It's fucking brutal, but I think it's also very.
That stayed with me. That film. I mean, yeah. that's one of the greatest films that I've seen that really depicts the kind of lurking bigoted violence that there is in American society, like right now, you know, that sort of gun obsessed, like stupid, addled kind of like white violence that there is in the culture, and that's represented by the followers of a certain ex-president, shall we say. But like, I think that's another film that's really good. But you know, Wind River is not a fun buddy movie.
It is not a fun buddy movie.
Is an experience that you don't forget.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that movie quite a lot. So it's stayed with me. That movie. It's such
amazing film.
Hats off to Taylor Sheridan.
Yeah, Taylor Sheridan is a. I want him to do more stuff, and I want him to keep making these like modern westerns. He's so good at it.
Yeah, he's recently come out with a new film with Angelina Jolie called Those Who Wish Me Dead, which is apparently okay, actually.
Is it a modern western?
No, but it is set. Angelina Jolie plays a smoke jumper, and she has to protect a child from assassins. Smoke
jumper.
You know, people who fight fire in woods and stuff.
So
the assassins, they basically find a way to basically make it harder for them to escape by basically starting a fire. So.
All right. Well,
that's coming out soon. Actually, I think it's out today, actually, in cinemas. I can check it out.
Oh, wow. Hot off the presses. Well, that sounds really fun.
But if you're in America and you have HBO Max, you can definitely check it out there.
I think, lots of work to be done. I think there are lots of films that people could consider making that actually depict the real history and the real culture of these people. You don't, you know, when you make a film about Indigenous Americans, you don't have to make a film that is set during the Indian Wars of the 19th century. You don't have to make Geronimo. You don't have to make a custom movie. You can make a film that's set now, and you can make a film that's set in a time where there were not white people around, which hasn't been done very often. But what Powwow Highway does is it takes American Indian characters and it puts them, you know, in their own time. I mean, this is a film that's 30 years old, but like, you know, it puts them in contemporary setting. It leans heavily on history, and it refers to history, and it tries in some ways to look ahead, and its main message is about keeping cultures alive. And I think that's a really important one. And I think one of the great, one of the silver linings of the story, of the sad story of the the genocide of Native people in America is that the culture has survived. Many cultures have survived, and you know, are visible in the landscape and, you know, in the lives of people, especially out west. So, you know, that we have, what little we have is very precious, and and this film is kind of a an example of that. So yeah, that's nice. I will get off my little soapbox there, but yeah, really fun movie, and I encourage you all to give it a watch.
Yeah, no, so I like the sound of that. Yeah, I do agree there should be more films like that, and I think that, I mean, there have. I mean, Chloe Zhao, who won an Oscar for Nomadland, her first two films are about, I mean, well, her first film, Songs That My Brother Taught Me, is about set on an Indian reservation.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
With actual people playing themselves. Well, that's you know, finding that's what she did with, like, The Rider and also with Nomadland. Like, apart from, you know, Frances McDormand and David Strathairn, like, pretty much most of the people in her films have been people play, like, non-professionals playing themselves and doing very well. So I think that's accustomed to her directing.
Interesting. I must say, I haven't seen any of her films, but I'm obviously delighted that she's doing as well as she is. All right, let's get out of here.
Yes. So yeah, do check back to see what I will be recommending. Yeah, you can check out all our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, all those places. I'll be adding Linktree link in the episode description. Do check out all our Bond Backwards episodes, and do give them a listen. They were really fun to do, and hope makes you watch them again, watch the Bond movies again. Hopefully we can review No Time to Die when it comes out later this year. Yep, we're on Twitter at Holmes Movies Pod. I'm at Fabricius91. Adam is Northampton Dane. Do you have anything you want to plug? Anything?
Well, I'm just going to say, like, for our listeners, like, maybe Twitter isn't that fun because it's a cesspit. Maybe I think people should encourage encourage people to join Letterboxd you know, look at our lists and look at the films we've been watching, and read your reviews. I should probably start writing reviews as well. Anyway, I'm Adam HF Holmes on Letterboxd.
Yeah, and also just I'm on me on Letterboxd.
I'll look you up.
Anders F. Holmes. I'm Anders F. Holmes.
All right. So there you go. That's yes. Nice and easy.
Also, if you would like to follow this group, it's the Indigenous Peoples Movement on Instagram. They have an Instagram page there. They are a global coalition bringing awareness of issues affecting Indigenous people from North and South America, Oceania, Asia, Africa, and the Caribbean. So you can check out their Instagram page, Indigenous Peoples Movement, which is on Instagram.
Yes, we got that.
Cool. So, anyway, yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, do check back with us next time to see what I will be recommending. Have a good day. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Get vaccinated. Wear a mask. All that jazz.
Yeah. Yes. Do that.
Do that.
And as ever, don't be a wanker. Just, yeah. You think you're being a wanker. Stop it.
Yes. If it's better to say nothing than anything at all.
What? That's not a phrase.
It is a phrase, isn't it?
No, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. What do you mean it's better to say nothing than say anything at all? That doesn't make sense. Well, what if there's a fire and you have to let people know? Oh, no, it's better to say nothing.
No, not in that context.
Well, context is everything. Anyway, let's get out before we ruin this episode.
Yeah, it's like, you know,
we're having bad trouble actually ending these at the moment.
No, we're fine. Okay, bye.
That's a little defensive. No, we're fine. Shut up. There is no issue here.
I was like, we're fine.
Things like that in front of the listeners. Right. Okay, are we officially going?
Yeah, we're going.
Goodbye.
Bye.
What?
I said bye.
Why did you say it in that voice? Okay.
I always end it with saying bye in that sort of way.
Do we do a Sopranos ending and just end in mid-sentence?